fun episode of the Dre Lag Podcast. I am Jake. This podcast is a cast is hosted by the CD Multimedia Network. Network that is the coldest brand multimedia network where you can get the Sucio Boys Boys Podcast, Angle with Kyle and Rod, and Rod, Sucio's Main and Keys, Aim High, Shogun Soccer Snicker Sit Down, hosted by Ahun the Shogun, Four Corners of Kai, and of course, this podcast. I'm Dre, and of course, this time I'm joined my wonderful friend Max. Max, tell the people who you are.
Hey, I'm Max Sickus. I am the president of the fan supporter group of the Denver Outlaws. I'm super excited to be here, Dre. Thanks for having me.
This is awesome. So, Max, tell people a little bit about like your experience with lacrosse, how you got into it, and all that you got going on.
Yeah, so I started playing lacrosse when, I think I was in second grade, so I think that was, 9 or 8 years old. Been playing ever since then, so lacrosse has just been my life since I was very young. So when the Denver Outlaws came to town, I took it upon myself to be the leader of that group, so applied to be the president of the Denver Outlaws support group, which is the Rough Riders. We're making our debut with the PLL here soon. We're just super excited to be here. Super excited to grow the game and everything like that. I played lacrosse collegiately in Durango, Colorado.
Okay.
Moved up to Fort Collins, Colorado, where I played on their club team there. Go Rams, but now I just play recreationally and kind of manage a couple of men's league teams, which has been just amazing. So looking forward to kind of, growing my connections in lacrosse in Colorado and being the president of the Denver Rough Riders is going to be another huge step in this process. So very excited. I like it.
So for those of y'all who don't know, I actually did with Max through our mutual friend who has been on this podcast before. So Jackson was able to me and Max, championship series. It was super dope. It was nice. We just didn't get to talk super long because I still had to do my press job. So I was taking care of that. The championship series was absolutely incredible. Max, were you there for the whole time?
Yeah, I was there for, I wasn't there for the Wednesday and Thursday. I think they took Thursday off. But I was there. I was supposed to be there for Friday. My flight got delayed. So I was only there Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And that's when I met you, the venue was amazing. That whole lineup and just the whole experience was phenomenal. So they did a great job with that, and it was awesome to talk with you there.
You know, the thing that they did that I was bummed I didn't get to see. I know they were test piloting it out, just seeing how they're running, when to make it was all going to be good. I think Saturday or Sunday, whichever day, like their HBCU day, they did an AU showcase with a few of the teams. We know that was going on, so I didn't get to witness it. I heard it was dope, but I definitely wish that I would have about that, because that would have been so cool.
I know, yeah, I didn't even know it was going on until after the fact, so I'm with you on that. I was like, dang, that was really cool.
And it's dope, as a black man in the world of lacrosse, seeing the sport HBCUs and getting to see other people that look like me play the sport is dope. Like, I tell people all the time, one of the players of all time is Jim Brown, and people are like, football Jim Brown? And I'm like, yes. If you don't know that Jim Brown was one of the best players to touch a lacrosse stick, you need to go there. I promise you.
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, that's some amazing stuff there. Yeah, and I wish, if they just would have marketed it just a little bit more, so just more people were kind of tuned in for it. I probably would have been good, but it was awesome to kind of rewatch it and go about it, everything like that. It was just amazing, everything about it.
The women's one, the all-star game. I think you missed that one too, but the women's all-star game, I know nothing about what it was, but whatever they were doing out there was phenomenal. I was
watching. Oh my God. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I was in a meeting during the All-Star game, but I was able to rewatch it, and I couldn't believe it. I really bummed I missed it live. We were in a Rough Riders meeting with PLL there. So when we got to the venue, it was just getting over, and I was like, no. But rewatching it, I can't believe. Yeah, I think was it Paul Rabel or whoever was saying, they were like, we want to grow women's lacrosse and get the PLL fans over, kind of educated a little bit more, and that was a great way to do it. So that was just awesome.
Watching Charlotte North play, really back to the first time I saw Kobe Bryant play, which was in 2003. So like watching Charlotte North play is like when I watched Kobe Bryant play the first time. Like everybody else looked like they were playing checkers and she's playing chess.
Because, oh, seriously, yeah.
Charlotte North, you know, I put her up there with your LeBron James, your Alex Ovechkins, like people, the game just comes differently to them, and how they execute, like even Lyle Thompson, whenever I've been playing live, it's just awe, like it puts you in awe because they do this differently.
Oh, seriously, yeah. I even just watching your highlights, it's just so crazy to just see how much. Just the sport's grown and just how crazy she's getting. It's just, yeah, it's amazing. It's like the LeBron James of women lacrosse. It's just awesome to see. So great for the growth of the sport. And I'm very excited to keep watching it. It's definitely got me intrigued to watch more.
I definitely watch women's lacrosse like more than I did prior because I'm like I want to know what's going on. Like, I want to know why this is a penalty. What is the thing? Like, I want to we were talking, me and my friends were talking on their podcast, Susio Sports. We were talking about how like obviously men and women are built different and all stuff. But this women's sports tend to be more funkus, and there's a lot more finesse. But I feel like that's where the meat is. Because they're not able to be as like physical as well as the men, they're passing and they're catching. And like the passes are so crisp. Like I think that ball hit the floor maybe like four times
in the yeah, game. That's very true. Yeah. It's fun to see that kind of yeah.
Yeah, and would you like and might be expecting a behind the back goal in women's lacrosse game?
But, oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially, you know, since men's and women's lacrosse sticks are so different. I don't know how they even do that with that shallow of a pocket. I mean, I could barely even do it with with the men's lacrosse stick with the, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's just awesome to see. Latin,
but her first name is Dana. She has a picture. Sure, she's going like looping around the crease and scoring the goal. Like there's a picture online. The coolest. Picture I've ever seen, like it's because she's literally snaking the cage and like she scored. I'm like that was the good. I was like, yeah, I gotta score more. This is crazy.
yeah, that's awesome. I gotta check out that photo. I mean, that's just so cool. Just seeing that kind of talent, and it's just awesome to see where it's coming and where it's going. It's gonna be great.
To do some of the press conferences since I was doing this and stuff. Press conferences were cool. It's always a fun experience. The semifinals and finals were two games that I saw all week.
Yeah. Just absolutely crazy. I know, yeah, I think it was the day before they were kind of tell the tournament was kind of wearing on the guys where they were just beat up and tired because I mean it was just a high scoring game and there wasn't really a whole lot of defense and it was like just kind of blowouts
for like six days straight just about like
yeah so you know I was like dang yeah they really are getting tired and then semifinals and obviously the championship pulled up and they just took it to a whole nother level you know it was definitely really cool to see we were able to get with our supporter section. We were able to get in one of the suites for the final game, and it was the best seats I've ever seen lacrosse. And it was just so cool. I mean, you could hear the players just yelling at each other, and you could just tell how intense it was. So it was awesome that it picked up for the championship game, and you know that overtime, yeah, that was crazy.
I thought I'm not going to. I legitimately, like, so anyone that's heard this podcast knows that I, like, from day one, I've been an archer guy. Just who it is. That's it.
Yeah.
But I, out of all the teams that were there, and I was most invested in because I was like, yo, I want to see the boys. And they just kept getting injury after me. Everyone's going full. The whole, like, adversity is just there. But you know what? What I will say, they didn't make excuses. They didn't quit. Like, no quit.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought they were going to catch the water. I thought they were
going to. No, seriously. It was a good game. I know. I thought they were gone. I know. I was an Archers fan too, so it was definitely bittersweet to see them lose every game. But I mean, they kept their heads high the entire time. You know, I mean, they are the defending champs for a reason. You know, so I mean, they put on a show, even though, you know, I mean, it was injury after injury after injury. Like you said, it was so unfortunate for them. But
shout out to Tommy Palisic. He gets on a play 4:30 in the morning, pulls up the leading scorer in a game. Hasn't played in like 2 years. Like,
oh god, what a guy!
Like,
I know, yeah, I mean, hey, unbelievable.
Mad at him, because like not many people are gonna do that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, if I were to do that, I mean, I would be pulling a hammy first whistle. I mean, to play at that elite level too, and just go and just do all that. I mean, for that many games too, it's just unbelievable. What a stellar athlete for sure.
Then I really like the there's just like I think the new de facto rivalry in the LL has got to be Cannon's Water. For a while, it was Whipsnakes Redwoods. For a minute, that was the rivalry. I think Water Dogs Cannons preceded that, because when they play. When those play each other, it's not even like a disdain level of like hatred or anything. It's just like a competitive.
Oh yeah,
like it's got that big fight feel.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, even just watching it live, you could just tell the tensions were high when they played each other. Even when it wasn't the, you know, the semifinals in the Sixes tournament, it was, you know, it was heated. And I think we all saw it on social media too. You know, Boston. And, yeah, I know. They're going at it. They're fighting. You know, they're building that rivalry, which is amazing to see. I'm really stoked to see. I wonder if, you know, they're saying the biggest rivalry coming out of the West will be the Archers and the Outlaws. We'll see if that.
It should be, because, you know, they, like, you know, they were formerly the Outlaws. I was framing that as normally the Chrome. And, you know, Archers, like, it's like, again, lacrosse is a competitive, and for anyone that doesn't know, like, you know, it's in sports competitions, obviously. So there's not like a gen like hatred. I mean, there might not gen, but like in a competitive sport, like there's also like a brotherhood. So there's not like a genuine hatred. Like, no one's gonna maliciously go after. But there is like that, like when we're playing each other, it's time to go.
Mm-hmm.
I got kids that I coach that like they're gender very nice kids. But with Crossfield, they are not kids. They're like physical and they're ready to go. But like, I think they're super nice. Like,
yeah, that's what's great about the sport, you know. I mean, yeah, you guys can be brothers and best friends on the sideline, but come game time, you know, it's that competitive nature. It's just that, oh, it's just a great feel. And that's why lacrosse is just the greatest sport ever. So,
and, sports where, like, yeah. if you haven't, you won't understand. Like, it's going to be hard to explain.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. It's awesome. I know, like, in my men's league, we sometimes do some pickup games, and my best friends, you know, we are just shooting our shit all the time off the sidelines. But when we play each other, say my friend goes on the other team, he's my mortal enemy for 20 minutes, you know? So, we hate each other. We're cussing and screaming at each other. And then the game's over. Oh, you know, what's up? It's gone. You know, so it's awesome.
that's just, because it's, yeah, like I said, you can't explain it like to anyone. Like when I played lacrosse first year, it I was in love with it because it was just different than any other. And like the camaraderie of it all was just was what really drew me in, because it's like, hey, we are gonna go battle these guys over here, go kick their asses. But after that, it'll all be cool.
Oh yeah. No, that's what the again, great part of the sport, you know. And
you don't have that in any other sport. You like in basketball mm-hmm. or football, if y'all don't like those guys to the game, y'all still don't like these guys. But like guys.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And lacrosse after this game, it's cool.
I know, right? Let's go have a beer after. Let's go talk about the game and how we smoked you guys or you smoked us. But you know, oh yeah, no, it's the sport's unbelievable, and you know, I'm just happy to be a part of it. And you know, whether that be in men's leagues or through the Rough Riders supporting the PLL, it's just amazing to see. I'm excited to get into it even more. So it's gonna be awesome.
I like it. So that's all that series, guys. We're gonna jump into like NCAA real quick and give you guys a quick little score update from this last weekend. Kind of let you guys know some of these. So, biggest story right now in men's NCAA, NJIT is undefeated.
Still can stand. Love it.
They are undefeated, and this is unprecedented because this is the first time in program history had more than three. They are, I believe, 6-0 right
now.
And scrutinize their schedule all you want, but at the end of the day in sports, your job team is to beat what's in front of them, and they are doing their job. They're beating who's in front of them.
Oh yeah, they're winning, and that's better than a lot of teams right now. You know, I feel like they're probably kind of playing with house money right now and kind of rolling with it, and it's working. You know, I'm playing really good, solid lacrosse, and you know, they're taking it to these teams. Yeah, you know, scrutinize the schedule and whatnot, but
they're 7-0 right
now. Wrong. Ooh, 7-0.
So they beat Saints 10-8. They beat Siena 15 in overtime. They beat Saint Mary's Mount Saint 11-7. They beat Monmouth 14-13 and 13 in overtime. And beat Manhattan 11-10, which is significant because it was just last year here that was in the NCAA tournament, so there are no slouches.
Yeah, and no, totally.
15-5, and then in Lindenwood they beat 18-5. They have Vermont, which again no slouches. They got Binghamton, which they should beat in that game. The most interesting games that NJIT has on their schedule, and not for me to overlook any of these people. First, Vermont. I think they should win.
Yep.
Bryant is going to be interesting because they in the NCAA tournament last year before they got by Duke.
Yeah.
They have Bryant, they have Albany.
Albany is going to be interesting. Yep.
Those are the most interesting. Not that Merrimack and UMBC and BC and UC aren't going to be, but they're not. So those aren't the teams them beat. I want them to beat Vermont, Binghamton. I'd love if they went undefeated, but I want to see them. Totally. I want to do against the Bryant and all, because if those are the only two teams they lose to, they still make the tournament. They're still
totally. Gonna be. Yeah, no, so, it'd definitely be some good tests in there, but I don't see why not. You know, I think they could totally, you know, the way that they're playing right now. Don't see why they wouldn't take it to these teams and even pull out a W on, you know, even Bryant and Albany. So, yeah, it looks like totally looks see. Like it's just fun to see.
4-0 on the road. Hey look, why not them?
Yeah, see, there you go.
Let's see. What's their, like, find their statistics. So the interesting here is majority of their goals are assists. So total in all seven games have 95 goals and they have 60 assists. So that's a mark for being an unselfish team.
Yeah, I mean in the grand scheme of things, that's how you win, you know, being unselfish. So, you know, if you have as many assists as you have goals, you know, that just means you're moving the ball around. Yeah, you're playing unselfish lacrosse, which it's obviously paying off for them. So they just keep doing that and kind of keep their heads low and keep grinding it out. They're balling. They're making moves for sure.
And they're 111 and 71 on. They also have 235 balls and 100 turnovers. So that's a differential. And then their shots on goal percentage is 9%. And their goalie save percentage is 60.
Which, dang.
As a coach and as a played goalie, if your goalie, now people might check me on this statistic, but I'm in my experience, if your goalie is saving anything above 45%, you are probably a winning team.
Oh yeah, 100%. Especially, oh yeah, if goalies are doing anything above 45-50, in my eyes, I mean they're going off. I mean, I think that's the hardest position in, you know, field lacrosse is to be a goalie. So to have that high of a save percentage, I mean, I don't know how they do it. So, you know, that definitely leads to the towards their success. And, you know, you gotta have a guy between the pipes really grinding it out. So it looks like, you know, they're having above 50. I mean, what did you say, 60?
Well, he's got well, it looks like they've got 63 goals against. So, you know, for their goalie to have like a 8.9% goals average, and their goalie has saved 98 goals. So only given up 63 goals and he saved 98. And that's so like I mean, like what are we mad about here? Like their goal is more than, and their best game just came again. Looks like Lindenwood, they're good. Their goal, 3% save percentage. So
just amazing. Goalie, I mean, yeah.
Whoever their goalie is, I gotta look at their rock. Their goalie has had three games where he has had 70% save percentage, and none of their games, their seven games, has their goalie had below 50% in a save percentage. So
that's just recipe for success right there. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, last 2 weeks holding Wagner and Lindenwood to only five goals. I mean, that's saying something. One about your defense, and yeah, that your goalie standing on top of his head and, you know, grinding it out, which is awesome to see. So, you know, I don't see why this wouldn't continue. You know, they can't get in their heads about it. So, that we're going to see. Definitely tuning in.
We're going to shout out some of our hometown people that are playing on NJIT. So, there's Cased in Centennial, Colorado, went to Cherokee Trail. And then it'd be hometown. There's Aiden Cover from Fort Collins, Colorado, Fossil Ridge.
Yeah, Fort Collins.
There's one kid that I actually know. There's Jack Moxie from Greenwood Village, Colorado. He went to Cherry Creek High School. Jack at Cruncher. He came and worked out with Jack at the time.
No way. That's awesome.
Really nice kid, upstanding kid. I wish nothing but the best for him, and he's gonna go far in life. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, you doing the things you're gonna do, and you're gonna go far, just across, but in life. And then you have Billy Muma from Littleton, Colorado. He went to Columbine School.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
And then you have Nate from Parker, Colorado. He went to Legend High School. And
sweet, yeah, definitely some Colorado boys going around there.
That's awesome. Are all our Colorado heroes.
That's sweet, yeah, seeing them all over the place there. That's awesome, yeah, definitely represent Colorado.
Listen, Max and I both live in Colorado, so obviously, we're gonna be like, hey, hometown heroes.
I know, seriously. Especially some of the high schools here. It's awesome to know familiar places, you know. It's great to see them branching out and going all over the place. It's awesome.
Well, and I hope that like any kid that in Colorado that's got this like college lacrosse understand 3-1, whether it is D2 or D3, to play lacrosse at the next level is a privilege, and you should be happy and be committed to doing your best. What school you play in. Number two, all things possible if you work hard. You get to see how far these dudes are in New Jersey, which is on the other side of the country, and so you can go play anywhere. All you guys find a way to make the opportunity happen for yourself. Mm-hmm. And then number three, just always do be great. That's a variable equation.
Oh no. It's the recipe for success. Yeah. Always grind it out, you know, be the best you can on the field, off the field. And yeah, like you said, to play at that collegiate level is phenomenal. So, you know, to make it anywhere around that, you know, just to take it that step farther is just phenomenal. So if anyone's looking to ever do it, just get
NLL, PLL jerseys. I hope some of them get it.
I know. Seriously. Oh, I'll be repping their jerseys too, if they can make it.
if any kid that I've coached for that I know makes it professionally, no matter what team they play for, I'm gonna get their jersey just because.
Oh yeah, I gotta remember that. Yeah, I just recently started coaching and it was second and third graders. This is my first year. I gotta remember if some of those kids just bust out and go pro. I gotta remember that. Be like, hey, remember when you had a coach in second and third grade? Just remember me.
Coaching is the most rewarding thing I've ever. I've been coaching lacrosse for 11 years.
It's awesome.
I've got coach kids that played in college. I got kids that are still in high school. I got kids. I got like I'm no joke. And if I had to like put a number of it into totality, like cumulative 11, I've definitely coached like around 300 kids. 300.
That's awesome.
Individuals.
Yeah.
And like I'd say like 10% of those individuals I still keep in contact with. And I'm always like rooting for theirs no matter what they do. I'm like, the head of the garbage man association, you'll be the best.
starting out for me, I coached the high school level. No, I didn't start out coaching high school. I coached U13 and U13 and U15 because like I was sitting here and when I first started coaching, I was like, now I have nothing wrong. I have nothing against coaching little kids, but I was not trying to deal with it because I knew at that point in time, I was 18 and I was like, I don't have the patience. I don't got the patience that are going to understand what I'm wanting, like, or at least moderately understand what I'm wanting. I wanted to have to do like minimal instruction. And so, why was I wrong? Because teenagers are in the prime of their, like, all their hormones are hitting. And so they're always... That's everything. Everything is just, you know.
Yeah, no, for that, as a first gig, it's pretty crazy. So, you're not even for doing that.
But I got to bond with a few of the kids, a lot of the kids, actually. Like, the U13 team was great, and then I moved up to coaching U15, and, my first time coaching them was fun. We went 7-1, but then we lost in the championship game. And I was like, oh, man. Took that real personally as like a reflection of me as like a coach and my abilities. Shouldn't have, because I wasn't playing, but I did.
Oh, yeah.
Was willing to walk away. And then I had like a life-threatening car accident. And I was like, ooh, let's go back into coaching because I almost died.
Oh, so yeah. Yeah, no. Glad you're good.
Yes. I was, and then, you know, I came back and I coached. And then the next 2 years, won the championship with like two different teams at two different levels. And after that, kind of was like, let's go coach high school.
Yeah, no, I probably a little bit better structure in high school. I mean, yeah, youth can, yeah, just be a roller coaster in every age group. So, I mean, that's pretty awesome that you started out with that high of an age group. Because, yeah, I was, even right now, you know, at 25 years old, I was like, yeah, second and third graders, I can teach them how to pass and catch. That's all I can really do right now. But it was an awesome experience and kind of.
Well, and they don't have long poles yet. They don't get long poles until they're like in fourth and fifth grade.
Yeah, so that was always good. You know, I mean, teaching a second and third grader to not slash every single second is probably the biggest challenge. I mean, oh, God, some of them was just over the head. Wham! Oh, it's just like, oh, you can't do that. I mean, you're going to chop someone's arm off. I mean, it's just, that's probably the hardest thing right there, but just very rewarding in itself. And
let's not do this.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I look to hopefully follow in your footsteps, maybe get high school eventually. Yeah. But I definitely got to get some experience under my belt in coaching.
Definitely. I mean, you know, not everybody has to do it the way I did it, but I coached at the youth level till I felt like I, as a coach, was ready to move on. And that, like, not only just that, but that I was able to justify, like, a school taking a chance on me. Like, that's what I had to do. I was like, I need enough experience to be like, hey, this, like, I should be at this level. Because at that point, when I was moving up to high school, like, you know, I knew enough of the parents and I'd made friends with enough coaches to where I could get somebody to recommend and go to bat for me and be like, oh yeah, this guy was good. Da 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 da. He's really good with these kids. Like you should take a chance. And, you know, I've been blessed to have multiple schools that did that for me.
Totally. Oh, that's awesome to see. Yeah.
No, I coached at Palmer. I coached at Cheyenne Mountain. I coached at Pine Creek.
Yeah.
Now I'm at Chaparral, which is like my favorite.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I think your process, though, I mean, I feel like a lot of people can take some advice from that, you know, being ready or when the time is right to be a coach for the high school instead of just jumping into it. I think that's huge, especially, yeah, at that level. You know, you want to be more of a mentor than, you know, just kind of going in there and winging it. That's just not what you should be doing.
Well, and you learn because, like, when you're like, what, like, so I started coaching when I was 18. When I, by the time I got to, like, high school, you know, I'm 21, 22. And, you know, and then I'm coaching with kids, like, that I've known since they were, like, 15 and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
And, oh, you're good.
And when I was at Palmer, like, almost, out of the 25 kids that we had in the program, because it was a smaller school, I had coached 8 or 10 of them since they were like little 13, 14 like year old kids. And now they're in high school. And I it was a mix of me trying not to be like, oh, it's like to not have any favoritism. That was the,
yeah.
And you know, you as a coach kind of figure out a balance between being an advocate / ally for the kid and being like their coach and being like, hey, no, we got to get this going for you.
Totally. No, that's extremely important. That's awesome that you're able to identify that. That's just great. Very good advice. I'll have to use it myself.
It comes with time.
Definitely.
It comes with time. Everybody's going to find their own path. And you will find what works for you and what doesn't. And anyone that's going to end up being a coach, I always say, figure out what you want to coach and then go from there. So, like, if you are a person that, like, you know, you're like, oh, I played attack when I was in high school. I want to work with the attackman. Or you're like a face-off dude and you're like, you did Fogo and you're like, okay, I want to work with just the face-off guys. And then, like, for me, I've always come into every program being like, okay, I want to work with the goalies. I played goalie. I am like, I have like X amount of structure for them. Like, I'm going to do what I can to help these kids be the best goalies possible. And I want to focus mostly on that. And it's funny because that's what I've brought to every place I've coached. And it's never been just that I end up doing.
Yeah, right. Oh, no, there's a lot of moving parts. So, yeah, it's a lot more complicated than that. Right.
Almost every school I've gone to has gone from being, oh, I'm going to coach the goalies, to I'm coaching the goalies, but I'm also doing the JV. And then some schools is, I'm going to coach the goalies. I'm also going to do JV. I'm also going to do C team. Now you're in. But I like it because all of those have forced me to get out of my comfort zone. And through that, it's given me good experiences that's helped me get better as a coach. So my best recommendation for you and for any other coaches that are new to it is say yes. Don't go into any program with like this preconceived expectations of what you're going to do. I'm a big Dragon Ball Z guy. Rest in peace, Toriyama. But yeah, I remember a quote from Piccolo where he said, sometimes we have to forget our wants and needs and do what's best. And that is the most accurate. That's the most accurate statement for what being a coach is you have to put aside what your expectations are and what you're wanting and figure out what the team needs. And that's one thing I've learned.
That's so great. I mean, that's just the life of a mentor. And that's like the definition of it. That's just awesome. That's very empowering, very great. Yeah,
man. Like, end of the day, one thing that I've always told all the kids, and I mean, this won't apply for your second graders because they're not old enough to understand the concept yet. But one thing I've always told the kids I coach, and it's never going to change, and it's how I feel. And if a program, like, which so far I haven't run into a program that doesn't like that I feel this way, but if a program doesn't like that I feel this way, then like that's not the program for me. But my feelings has always been, I do not care how many goals you can score, how cool your shots are, or how many assists you have. But what I care about is when you are off this field, who people see you as, what people associate you with, and that people know that you are a good person that has good character. Because I can teach you how to play lacrosse all day. I'm going to teach you how to play lacrosse. I know what I'm doing. But what I can't teach you how to do is be someone that's a decent person that has good character, that's going to make the right choices. I can tell you what you should do, and it's going to help you get there, but I can't make you do that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if I've made one of those kids that I've coached a better person, I don't see how you lose.
I know, right? That's pretty much what it's all about. You know, I mean, it's definitely just as, you know, first year coach, it was never about winning. It's just about, developing these kids into who they are going to be, you know? So I don't want these kids to learn bad habits on the field and bring them into the real world, you know, as they grow up. You know, you want to mentor them and help them out the best on the field so that they can, like you said, be the best people off the field. That's just pretty much what it's all about. It's just awesome.
Oh yeah. One of these days I'm going to coach somebody that's going to change the world. They're going to invent the cure for like diabetes or something. They're going to do something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit back
and you're like, a part of it. Kid. Yeah. No, that's a great mentality to think. I think everyone should think
I will say, arguably, it's probably tougher being a kid now than it was when we were kids, because you got this age of social media where everything is like, you have this desire to kind of protect your reputation or to kind of like present who you are to like other people and stuff like that. And then you've got all this, you got your Snapchats, your Instagrams,
your
Tumblrs, and you did. And I'm sure like for kids in some degree, some of these kids probably feel like, you know, they don't got nobody rooting for them. And so I feel like if you can make some of these kids like know that you are rooting for them, they'll be better off for it.
Oh no, totally. I mean, I see some of these kids, you know, try to follow us on Instagram, and you know, they're in third grade and they have an Instagram. I can see how that could totally, you know, if some of the kids are complaining that they only have 20 followers, you know, I think that can be a real self-esteem.
Yeah.
It can really bum them out. So, I mean, yeah, like I said, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on with social media and just a lot of outside factors going in with that. I mean, I couldn't even imagine being a kid growing up right now. So
I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it.
I know.
I couldn't make it. I'd be. thank you everybody for going on that tangent with us. But so jumping back to like some of the major lacrosse scores, Army beat Holy Cross 18-8. Maryland won a nail biter against Brown 14-13 in overtime.
Great
Notre
game.
Dame beat Ohio State 13-10. Penn State smashed Cornell 20-9. Providence and Stony Brook, another fun age-old rivalry. Providence got the win, though, 13-12. Hopkins lost a close one to Syracuse, 14-13. Love that matchup every year.
Yeah, holy cow, what a game.
It was getting chippy, too. They were big fight field.
Seriously, that was just, yeah. Sorry, continue.
Towson's on the rise. They lost to Virginia 19-15, but they're coming. Towson and Penn are quietly building themselves back up.
I know. I mean, they played pretty good against Virginia. I mean, not too bad, you know. Like you said, they're up and coming.
I am here once again to ask that we start putting respect on Delaware's name. They won 16-7 against Mount. I'm so tired of them being the pigtail matchup in the tournament. And then when they're the pigtail matchup, they absolutely blast whoever they're up against. Like, and know, they win their conference. Stop putting them there.
I know, seriously. No, they're not. They're not half bad. I mean, 16-7 this week. I mean, it's not a score for the week, man. I mean,
last year they played Manhattan and they smashed them out. Like,
yeah. So.
Like, and honestly, if it were not for, if Duke didn't have Brendan O'Neill, Delaware probably wins that game that they played.
Totally, no.
Delaware probably wins that.
Duke's claim to fame right now is O'Neill right now. So I mean, it's kind of
Duke beat Loyola 16-10. You know, Brendan O'Neill probably showed out in that one.
I didn't watch too much of that one, but.
I was watching NJIT and then UVA because I'm a UVA guy.
Yeah, definitely. And I was watching that Hopkins.
That Hopkins Syracuse one was amazing. I caught the highlight.
That's pretty sweet.
And then North Carolina beat Hofstra, but we kind of expected that. That's no.
Yeah, 21-9 is a little bit of a blowout. expect? Yeah.
It's like, that's not really too much of a shock. Right now. Interesting that they got DU ranked number 10 on NCAA's website.
I know, I've seen that. I was like,
but we know the Pios were number one in the inside lacrosse ranking, so I like those ones better.
I know, yeah, I like that one. Yeah, number one, Colorado, being the number one seed in some eyes. No, DU's playing right now. I mean, they're playing phenomenal lacrosse. I want to make it down for a game.
Very interesting right now. Where is? Oh well, that's just disrespectful. Hold on, where is it? Oh, they haven't updated their rankings yet.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to figure out. I was like, I mean, they have the scores, but they haven't updated their rankings since May. So we're gonna use the NCAA. We're gonna use the Inside Lacrosse rankings. We're gonna use those.
There you go.
That'll be fun. Who is? Ooh, Yale and Denver are on right now, I think.
Yeah, they're playing right now. I'm actually going to. I'll try and pull it up here right now.
Denver, Yale being 2-1 is very surprising, honestly.
Yeah, to say the least. Right?
They're like that's just surprising to me. I'm like, it's like there are certain like. You know, anything can happen in the world of lacrosse, but there are just like, so to speak, certain schools where we kind of like, oh, we expect better from you guys.
Well, especially, yeah, I feel like they kind of have that standard or that kind of reputation to.
Where it's like, yeah. It's like, get it together, guys. What are you doing?
I know, it's like you got all the resources and you kind of got the place to do it. So why aren't you as good? So, but I'd say Kirby. Denver hands it to him. I don't really see the scores right now. I don't know why it's not going out.
NJIT might end up getting this next number one ranking from Inside Lacrosse. I don't know. NJIT at 7-0. Army is 6-0. Duke is 6-1. Syracuse is 6-2. Denver's 5-0. Harvard's 5-0. Quinnipiac is 5-0, which is another shock that I'm surprised nobody's talking about. Maryland is 5-1. Michigan's 5-1. Penn State and Virginia are 5-1. And then you have Hopkins at 5-2. Those are some of your top teams. Notre Dame's 4-1. Richmond's on the rise at 4-2. So conference-wise, though, this is where it gets interesting because most people might not know this, but the ACC has brought back their tournament, which means a lot of these teams that were in ACC might not be guaranteed to get in, because if you win the tournament, you get an AQ. And for those of you that don't know the terminology, AQ is automatic qualifier. And so right now, at the top of the ACC, they haven't had any interconference play yet, but it's looking like anybody can win that. The only conference that's had any interconference play is the CAA, and Delaware is 1-0. But Towson's in that conference, so it could come down to Towson and Delaware, or Stony Brook could surprise us.
Yeah, that would be something for sure.
Ivy League, they haven't gone against each other yet. MAAC, no one ever asked me what that acronym stands for, because I couldn't tell you. Quinnipiac, LIU, and Sacred Heart are undefeated in conference play. Wagner's one win is in conference play.
Huh. Well, I mean, that's something for him. But yeah, it's crazy that there's not a whole lot of conference play right now. I mean, just they probably did that just to make it way more interesting towards the end of the stretch.
Yeah, they do it down the stretch. Because then it's everything matters.
Oh, yeah. It's every game becomes just three times more exciting. And yeah, it means a whole lot more. So I see what they're doing there. But yeah, it's going to start heating up here soon, then.
We'll see how long Colgate stays undefeated in the Patriot League, because Army's 2-0 right now, and they've won that league the last couple of years. So we'll see how long Colgate stays up there. But with not a lot of interconference play, it's exciting because, like we said, down the stretch, some of these games are going to really start mattering, and it's going to get tough. It's gonna be tough. You're gonna be like, I'm just interested. Oh, right now it's 4-3 DU.
Ooh,
I'm interested to see how this all shapes out for this tournament, for the postseason tournament. Like when it's the conference tournaments, I'm interested to see what this ends up meaning for postseason.
Totally.
And it's largely considering getting tickets to the men's championship weekend out there for the NCAA.
That'd be very cool. Yeah, especially being at the championship series, talking with a lot of guys that go to a lot of the tournaments and especially the championship game. It's like, dang, maybe I should make it here, because it sounds phenomenal.
I might have to go out there.
I know it's a little bit of a trek from Colorado, but in a sense, it's worth it. You know, once in a lifetime opportunity is just kind of make it out there. I think it's totally, especially what they're doing this year. I think this year, you know, anyone can have it. And
well, life's about
a lot of good lacrosse.
No,
I totally agree with that.
Jumping over to the, we'll keep you guys up to date with that DU Yale score. Jumping over to the National Lacrosse League, real quick, if you weren't aware this season, the NLL has done what is known as a unified table. So what that means is gone are the conferences of East-West. And in doing one unified table, it is now the top eight teams out of the 14, 15 teams in the league go to the playoffs. It is no longer top four from this conference, top four from this conference, which means that truly in the NLL this season, the league, like every game matters.
Yep.
Every single
more than game. Ever.
Like, and I like it because it forces new creative matchups that you don't normally see because you're cross conference.
No, totally. I think, yeah, it just raises the stakes even more. I mean, especially being a Mammoths fan right now, it's not looking too good, but you know, I think the players are playing for something a little bit more every game, you know, especially at the beginning of the season, everyone's just kind of, oh, it's okay, we got the rest of the season. But I mean, you know, even at the beginning of the season when there was just four games in, you know, it's like if you lose a whole lot more, you know, it's
the defending. This is how much games matter. The defending champs are 500 right now. They're 6-6. The Buffalo Bandits are 6-6, and if they lose a couple more games, they're gonna miss the playoffs. That's how much these games matter. So standings wise, at number one, you have the Toronto Rock at 11-2. But when you have Tom Schreiber, one of the best players on the planet, I mean, I would expect you to be in the top.
I know. Seriously, I mean, they are just playing lights. I mean, even watching the Mammoth game last night, it was a little hard to watch as a Mammoths fan. But, I mean, they're moving the ball around. I mean, they're playing unselfish lacrosse. And, you know, they just have it going. You know, I think the Mammoth are just in a deep rut right now. I mean, I think offensively, they just can't get into the back of the net.
They just need a reset. I mean, I try not to place blame on folks, but I don't want to sound like a hater, but like how I have felt for the first three games and like, you know, being a season ticket holder, watching the person, I feel like Dylan Ward just needs to call it done. I like Ward, and he has some nights where he's just on one, but more often than not, he has just looked like he has lost a step. It's sad because it's like watching MJ when he was on the Wizards. You have this person who's given you prolific play over the years and has some games where he does it and shows you those flashes of who he used to be, but you are just seeing the decline in real time. And I'm like, I would rather you go out on your own terms than you getting released, because it's like it's rough, man. And like in the stands sometimes it's rough too, because Ward lets in three or four goals and fans, and I mean, I'm talking about little ass kids, are demanding for Carlson to come in. They're like, put Carlson in.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, Carlson's been playing lights out, too. I'm a huge Dylan Ward fan, though. So, yeah, it is hard to see that kind of hot and cold. But I'll defend Ward until the day I die. I think the defense, especially last night, I mean, they were just hanging them out to dry. You know?
Where were they?
Oh, I know. So, I mean, you know, you see you hold the number one team, the Rock, to 12 goals. And in my opinion, the NLL, that's pretty low scoring. But to only score 7 on the other half, I mean, you just can't win a lot of games if you can't score. But
no. And they're shooting shots that aren't going to go in, that, like, they shouldn't be shooting. And it's a lot. It's not just on Ward, like I said. It's not.
Yeah,
it's a whole team thing, but man, I can see it. I'm like, I was telling one of the people sitting next to us, I was like, you know what, I don't know if he hangs it up or not after this year. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it could be a possibility for sure. I think there was rumors even last year that he was just not even going to extend and just retire.
Well, because like even with the Water Dogs, like I don't think that he's better than DeLuca like right now. I think
last season he was definitely, I guess that's kind of true. I think maybe he's just a little bit more consistent, but I mean, after seeing this championship series, Luba might just be the guy.
I think I can't see them not having him as the starter. And I
mean, like, I swear, how could you just go lights out and not start? You know, I think they have to start him.
If I'm Dylan Ward, man, the thing is, like, if he retires now, he has nothing to be ashamed of. He's won a
championship. Yeah.
He's won a championship in the NLL and the PLL. He is regarded as one of the best goalies of all time. Like, again, most people wouldn't want to see him retire, or at least they'd want him to retire as a champ or something like that. But, like, it's one of those things where, like, do you want to go out on your own terms, or do you want to go out like Tom Brady?
Yeah, it's true. Where it's just, all right, just put him out of his misery, you know. But, and I think, I don't know, it's that injury that he sustained during the PLL championship. I just feel like there's something going on there where he didn't let it heal all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just nagging, and playing both the PLL and the NLL, I think it's just kind of wearing on him, especially, you know, how he's getting a little bit older. He can't bounce back like he used to. So maybe it's just either, you know, let yourself rest, or maybe just pick the NLL or the PLL. I don't know what he needs to do, but I think there's definitely that injury. He's maybe babying it, and it's probably throwing him off his game. So I think as of right now this year, I think he's, definitely a little hot and cold, but if he's able to rest himself and not get hurt, I think next year, I think he could come back. You know, I don't say he hangs it up. I know, he's a great guy, and I think he'll probably come back for at least another run, but if he just can kind of take it easy and kind of get back to basics. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think there's just a nagging injury that he's just kind of off his game, maybe a little
kind of go. But you all
are
healthy and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. So, but yeah, we'll see how it goes. Maybe he is just kind of like, all right, it's time to go. I mean, Carlson's just playing out of his mind when they do put him in. So it is just awesome to see. So, we'll see what happens. I think this year is kind of a bust. I don't even know if they can still make it into the playoffs. I didn't see that.
Well, because, like,
I was just, yeah.
Toronto Rock are number one. Albany Fire Wolves are number two. San Diego Seals are number three at 9-4. Georgia Swarm at 8-6 are number four. Thunderbirds are 7-6. 5. Bandits are 6. New York Riptide are at we beat the Riptide 2-2.
I know. Seriously.
And then at 8 is Rochester Knights, who we also freaking beat.
I know, it's just crazy to see. I guess that's fun about the NLL. Anything can happen.
If the season ends today, that's your playoff. Those top 8. Now, outside looking in and having to – and no longer control their own destiny and having to hope for everyone else to fail in order to – Panther City at 9. Roughnecks are at 10. Wings are at 11. Saskatchewan Rush are at 12. Desert Dogs are at 13. Mammoth are at 14. And then Warriors are at 15. So
the Mammoth little rough
to win every single game and hope that the Riptide, the Nighthawks, the Panther City Lacrosse Club, the Roughnecks, the Wings, the Rush, and the Desert Dogs lose every single game.
So there is a chance, you say. No, I'm just kidding.
A very small chance. Like, if the Mammoth win 2 and the Mammoth, the Nighthawks, and the Panther City Lacrosse Club all lose, like, at least 3 more games in the Mammoth continue to win, they could pretty well sneak in at spot.
That sounds like a Mammoth way to do it, kind of sneak into the last spot of the playoffs.
In there. So they have
I'm trying to look here too.
So they have the
score.
So they have the Nighthawks
on the 25th. They have the game that's going to be amazing, but they have to come ready to play April 5th against the Bandits.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there for the Bandits game for sure. I'm definitely going to try and get myself a Dad's jersey.
I'll be there. And then the Wing are on the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
The Desert Dogs are on the 13th. And then the Thunderbirds are on the 13th. So,
honestly, I feel like it's not too bad of a schedule other than the Bandits and the Nighthawks. But I think other than that, pretty winnable games after that.
They would have to go on a 5 winning streak. And when hope everyone ahead of them goes on a 5 losing streak.
Because if they win five, they're 9-9. And they just need they just need everyone ahead of them to lose. That is a probable but not impossible scenario.
Yep. Easy. No, I'm just kidding. But it's kind of hard. I don't even know, do they have a lot of draft capital? Because is it to the point where do you just tank the season and try and just gain a lot of draft capital and kind of reset for next year? Just hoping that Lee is back. Just to kind of get your offense moving again, or do you kind of still want to shoot for playoffs and go for another run? I just don't know if they have it in them to make it far at all. So maybe it's time to throw in the towel and just start thinking about next year. I don't know if that's a possibility. Just maybe start gaining some draft capital. I don't know if they have a first round pick. I'll have to look into that. and if so, like, where would it be? But I would probably.
You got to buy next.
Oh, sweet. So many buys. What do they have? Do they have like 3 buys in this season? I just think that's crazy. Oof. But yeah, definitely not the easiest schedule going forward.
I was trying to catch up on the podcast. It didn't say anything.
That Saskatchewan game was embarrassing.
Oh, that was horrible. Yeah, no, we were both at that one, and it was.
They didn't.
Oh, it's just. I mean, yeah, it's just the offense is uninspired. I mean, it's just like the saying, they're just shooting to shoot. I mean, there's just no generation, and Dylan Ward had to get pulled, and. You know, Carlson played out of his mind for the last 8 minutes of the game, but
well, and that's the shitty part is if they had put Carlson in after Ward gave up like 4 goals, because Carlson didn't surrender anything but like 2 or 3 goals.
I think he only surrendered, was it 1 or yeah, maybe it was 2.
It was 2 at most, because when he came in, it was like 13 to 5 when he came. So, like, honestly, they should have just pulled Ward after, like, 4th or 5th goal. Because if you say that they still put up the same amount of offense, but you pulled Ward and you have Carlson. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't give you're from it being a 15-7 loss to a winnable 7-5 matchup.
Yeah, I know if Carson's kept playing on his head, you know, that could have been the thing. I just don't know how you could ever win a game. Like, I don't know if you're only scoring 5 goals. That's just rough. That sounds like my men's league right there, you know. It's scoring like, only 5 goals.
It's like watching a U7 game.
Oh, yeah, totally. So you know, if Carlson was playing the entire game, I still don't know if they would have pulled it off if they're only able to score 5-7 goals. I mean, that's probably a low scoring game. Well, you know, and
knowing offensive look, there was a time where they couldn't capitalize on a power play to save their lives.
That game was so bad.
Like when you go 2 men up and you can't put a goal in, it's bad.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I heard a lot of people in the stands just going, oh, this goalie's playing out of his mind. I'm like, I don't know. He's not even really that good of a goalie. I know his stats. They just can't. Oh, he's not that good of a goalie. No, it's just they're making him look good.
They made him look like a superstar. He really wasn't doing anything good.
I don't know. I mean, just hitting him in the chest every time. It was just painful to watch. And just even last night, I mean, they kept in it, you know. I mean, it was tied at one point, and then for them to just kind of give up at the end was a little rough, but –
I think they need to do what the Broncos do and just blow it up.
I know. Just full sail. You know, I would say, yeah, I mean, this could be a good time to just, you know, maybe, yeah, get some draft capital, get some good trades in there. You know, build up again. I mean, you have that championship. It's, if you don't make the playoffs, you have a long off season, which is going to be nice for the guys. So they'll come back rejuvenated. I mean, you know, especially for a lot of them, they're playing, you know, they're playing two championship seasons and playing in the PLL, you know, they're probably exhausted. So maybe just having just a little break to kind of reset, you know, kind of get away from the turf and hang up the cleats for just a little bit, fall in love with the game again, and maybe they'll be back out there next season. But I think as of right now, I think the GM needs to start looking at full sail. Not full sail, but, you know, making some right moves for next season.
Speaking of GMs and looking at decisions, whoever the GM of the Boston Cannons is needs to be reaching out to Lyle Thompson and being like, hey, dog, hey, come on over, man. We need you.
Would you please come and hang out with us?
I mean, hey, you need, play with us. Like, you need to just sit down with them and be like, yo. So, we can make a serious play
for the
championship. We have Marcus Holmes. We have Matt Kevin. We have Kurtz, one of the best goalies in the league. We have the Aslanians.
Crazy. I mean,
we just re-signed a lot of our defense. We got Bubba Fairman. Like, we have a squad. Like, come through.
Yeah, no, their squad's looking really good. So, you know, with Lyle Thompson, I couldn't even imagine what it looks like.
Plans are, I've heard. If Lyle Thompson decides he's playing this season, the Cannons championship odds just
astronomical. I mean,
Coleman, Asher, Noel, Tilting, like, oh, that's a negative attack line. Lyle Thompson, Marcus Holmes, Asher, Nolting, like that. That's a net attack line.
That's just absolutely insane. You know, I being an Outlaws fan right now, it's like, ah, dang. But, you know, we'll be getting Brandon O'Neill here soon. But speaking of Outlaws, you know, Connor Farrell, I think we were talking about it last night. He had his NLL debut, as we're on the NLL topic here. Needless to say, he helped the Bandits to victory in that overtime when he won that faceoff. So I think he was just having fun playing with some house money there and just having a great time. It sucks that he's on the Bandits though, but you know, I mean,
I hope he stays.
It's against the what?
I said, I hope he stays in the league.
I know. Seriously. I think he was killing it. Box definitely fits him for sure. Just a big guy. But what an awesome man, milkman right there. I think is he still a free agent in PLL in the PLL right now, or is he?
See, current right now.
I think I was looking at that the other day. I'm trying to find him here. So I think they still need to sign him.
Tracker. You know what? By the way, shout out to our friend Chase from PLL Pipeline, because the work that he does with keeping the free agency track record up to date on his Instagram page and his Twitter page. Shout out to Chase, because without, I wouldn't have some of the news that I have. So yeah, that's where I got Chase.
There you go.
So real quick, I'm just going to go through some, since we're in PLL free agency. Currently, with those of y'all that don't know, Andy Copeland did step down as the Water Dogs head coach. But the candidates for the Water Dogs, Bill Tierney, Stephen Brooks, Brody Merrill, Tony Resch, Joe Spallina, Spencer Ford, Anthony Kelly. I'm just saying, if Joe Spallina or Brody Merrill or Bill Tierney become coach of the Water Dogs, the Water Dogs championship odds go up.
I know. I mean, I think their odds were even high to begin with. So, you know, that'd be something else if they got those coaches or one of those coaches.
Let's see. Definitely the Water Dogs did Jack Hanna through 26. Redwoods have signed Alex from DU. The Redwoods have also got Ron from Albany. Cannon retired.
Yeah.
Everything you've done for the sport, Jack. Ryan Lee has been signed to a one-year deal with the Redwoods. Cannon's got Matt Wayne back. Chaos have got Johnny Surdick as well as Blaze Reardon back. Redwoods re-signed Jack Kelly. That's not surprising. Chaos yep. got Burn because through 2026. Mm-hmm. Water Dogs did re-sign.
Love it.
Chaos yep. got Patrick Resch. But I'll tell you what, here is the most interesting thing for the remaining Redwood free agents. Ryder Garnsey.
Yep.
John Sexton, Zach Cole, and John Piatelli. That is interesting.
I know.
Not being signed yet, and they keep signing these attackmen. I'm not sure what's going on with Garnsey, but hey, Ryder, if you want to live in Denver. Come on through.
I know, seriously. I think he'd be a good fit in Denver. He has that kind of outlaw mentality. You know, you see him on the shit-talking videos with dude wipes. I mean, he's a menace. I think he'd fit the outlaws scheme.
Man needs a back. Adler's a free agent, too.
Yeah. And I think looks like Connor Farrell is, I think, still a free agent. Doesn't look like he's been signed yet.
Yeah. And Romar's only signed to a one-year deal for the Redwoods, so if he walks there, that's going to be interesting.
That is interesting.
Michael Earhart is also a free agent.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I think...
Reese Eddy is a free agent.
Oh, there we go.
This is Chase Frazier and Justin Gutterd. Garrett Eppel going to Cannons is crazy.
Oh, that is super... That shakes things up for sure.
That's
very interesting again. Yeah.
I'm like, God dang, bro. That's crazy.
They just keep building on that team. I think just everyone wants to go to the Cannons, I guess. I mean, that or Chaos, Earhart, I don't know.
if they get Earhart, that pretty much locks that championship up for them. If they get Earhart, because you're going to have the defensive player of the year and the LSM of the year and one of the attackmen of the year finalists like that.
Oh, jeez.
Well, and then the Redwoods with Chris Fake and Holden Garland, I was like, okay, so they're trying to build up that defense that everybody was shooting for.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I know. I seeing all these moves and not seeing a single outlaw move is
I know. I'm like, what are you guys
I'm doing? Like, what? I know. It's like, is this how you guys are going to take care of it? It's just not doing anybody. I mean, maybe they're still working on it right now, but I mean, I think they have the worst offense in the league. So why aren't they picking up some veteran presence there? You know, I know we have a young, or the Chrome had a young offense there and, you know, not a great play caller. Yeah. You know, so if anything, they're just losing a lot. I just don't know what they're doing here. I think if they're looking in free agency, I feel like they just need a veteran presence there. Just looking at these free agents right now, you know, I don't think we need like a, you know, I think, you know, maybe Garnsey is that veteran presence that they need, you know. I
would have loved Ronan Jacoby.
Yeah. No, that would have been nice. So, I mean.
Well, let's see. On the plus side, if for whatever reason, I hope they don't, but if for whatever reason they lost Farrell to another team, you know, Justin Inacio is there still. As is Matt.
Yeah, Matt, he's still on there, but I just like Farrell's face-off game. you know, I think he could definitely hang with a lot of these teams, you know, with Trevor Baptiste and stuff like that. I mean, he's just that physical presence that I love as a fan of him. I'm a face-off guy myself, so I definitely like Farrell.
Also, Brendan Nichter.
Yes, I was looking at that. So
why?
Definitely interesting for sure. But yeah, no, I think the Outlaws got to be doing something about it, just being an Outlaws fan, you know. But yeah, this free agency.
Kevin Rogers was there too, but yeah, scooped him up. I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, can y'all do something?
Do we have a GM looking at the?
Well, it's like that meme, you know, that dude pointing, poking something stick, and he's like, do something.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was a shout out to Michael, one of our our Rough Riders leaders. Yeah, you kind of, yeah, come on, do something with it. What are you doing? Yeah, it's just not a single signing here. Yeah, hopefully Connor Farrell comes back. Would really like that. At least we got Schinone as our goalie. I think that'd be really good. Manly, I know they were all signed a little bit ago, but yeah, no, as of like the first official kind of free agent go around with the PLL, the Outlaws didn't really do a whole lot. But you know, there's still a lot of people on the board. Maybe they're just cooking up some fantastic deals that.
Ryder Currency is available. They need to go get that man.
use the cap space and go with it. Yeah, they need to. I mean. If the Redwoods haven't, yeah.
See, who else is?
I'd like Garnsey on the Outlaws. I think he'd look good in the orange and black. Or even, you know, maybe I see here Kyle Jackson still free agent. I think that would be kind of a good veteran presence there. Something to kind of get the offense rolling a little bit.
Get Nick Turn. What are you doing?
Yeah, see, there we go. That could be something we could definitely do.
The one I'm most go get him is Ryder.
Yeah. And we're both at agreement on that. Him
and Charlie. And Michael Earhart. Like, what you got to lose? Go get
him. Yeah. No, it's interesting that they haven't made any moves yet. I mean, they just need to make a couple of free agent signings and they're back in the race. So they just need to do something. I want to be able to post on our social media that they did something.
And Steve Kelly, I was like, wow.
Yeah,
that's what they need to do. So you know, as we start to wrap up, Max, I just allow everyone a chance to kind of talk, like, you know, things that are important to them, what they got going on, where people can find them at social media wise. So you know, we'll talk to people about what you got going on. You can find you at social media wise as well.
Yeah, so as the president of the Rough Riders, Dre here as well as one of our leaders here, we're kind of building up a group. We're slowly growing our social media presence here. If you're looking for the Denver Rough Riders, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. I think we also have a TikTok as well and a Discord channel. Let's see, our Instagram handle is at Denver Rough Riders, all one word. So that's DenverRoughGh. Riders. That's our Instagram handle. You can find us on Facebook as well. If you're looking to connect with me personally, my Instagram handle is, I think it's at max_ickes20. So that'll be ICKES20 for any lacrosse news on that. But yeah, we're slowly starting to grow the Denver fan base here. And I thank you, Dre, for joining our group and getting us on. Or getting me on this podcast. This has been a phenomenal experience. So yeah. I'm excited to slowly get into it and grow the game. It was amazing talking with you. You're a great guy. So looking forward to more. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Yo, this has been another fun episode of the Dre Lax podcast hosted by the CDB My Media. Network. See the other podcasts on our network. That is Sucio Sports, the Sucio Boys Cast, Four Corners of Commentary, Angle with Kyle and Rod, Shogun Sound with A-Hunt and the Shogun, as well as more podcasts to come. I'm Dre. I'm getting about the way. Stay tuned. Episode's probably going to drop on, most likely tomorrow, Monday. We're about here.
Heck yeah. See you guys. Thank you.